If last Sunday's sermon or scripture, a rather apocalyptic scripture, was the trailer of the Christmas story, this week would be the setup. We meet the first character of the story, and this character is really, well, character's the right word for him. John the Baptist. Long before Jesus arrives on the scene, John has begun the work. He's baptizing, preaching, hearing confessions, preparing people for Jesus. While for some it seemed like he was the one they were looking for, John was quick to let them know that he wasn't the one. He was just preparing the way. He could give them a little taste, but he couldn't be the one. He couldn't be their Messiah. John came to show that there was work to be done. Work so that people could be ready to hear the good news, ready for Jesus. We see John already. Already people probably think he's a little out there, but he goes about sharing the good news that's yet to come. John reminds us in our scripture of baptism. I hope you experience something that I do, but every time we have a baptism or every time I watch a baptism, I can't help but remember my own. I'll admit to you, it was a long, long time ago. It actually makes me feel a little strange to say it was, well, it was a half century ago. But the amazing thing is that I can remember it so clearly. I hope you can remember yours as well as I can. I know some of what I remember is because my mother would talk about it, that she has pictures of me on that day, so I can tell you what I was wearing when I went to church. I can tell you how my hair was in pigtails and how I was at that age that my teeth were much bigger than my face. I can remember what led up to my baptism, talking to my parents and my pastor and asking so many questions. And even before that, my parents modeling what it meant to live the Christian life, living a life of faith and love and sacrifice. I remember the nerves that I felt that afternoon before we were heading to Sunday night church. I can remember the nerves that I felt beforehand. Would I be able to hold my breath long enough? Was it going to be okay? And then I remember the words I heard as I was raised out of the water, raised to walk in newness of life. I remember the feeling I felt as so much of my family was around me and they were proud of me and they celebrated with me. But the one thing I remember so vividly is the next morning going to school and wanting to tell every person I saw, "Last night I was baptized. I gave my life to Jesus. I'm different." It was such an amazing feeling that I needed to share it. It's a feeling that sadly isn't repeated very often. I haven't had that same feeling. Every time I get the opportunity to baptize someone or when I see a baptism, I have that same feeling and hope. I think to myself, I hope that they can remember how amazing that feeling is. That feeling of being loved, of being forgiven, of being accepted, of knowing that we're created in the image of God and that we are exactly who we need to be. We are loved just like we are at the moment we decide to follow Christ. We're not asked to be different. Sure, we all hope that we can live life differently, but we're accepted at that moment. Here, John helps us remember that baptism is an active preparation for receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. Our hearts are changed. So baptism is an important part of Advent. John prepared the way by engaging the world in a heart-changing manner. John was an interesting choice. He wore strange clothing and he ate weird things. And really, he just didn't fit into society, but he didn't let those limitations of his life stop him. He didn't let it stop him from doing the work that he knew he needed to do. It didn't stop him from telling of the Messiah. It didn't stop him from being what God created him to be. And in some ways, those limitations helped him in his work. There's a young woman, you may have heard of her. Her name is Sheena Mathakin. She is known for several different things, from being in advertising to movie creations. But in 2009, when she was feeling rather drained and rather uncreative, she took a year off from her work, and she challenged herself to wear the same little black dress for 365 days straight. She wanted to do something good to go along with it, so she documented the journey, and she encouraged people to donate money to an organization in India to help children go to school. And so all along this journey, she did everything she could do to change that little black dress every day, to wear different accessories or different shoes or different scarves. But for 365 days straight, she wore that same little black dress. And it sparked quite an interest that grew and grew and grew. First, people would send her accessories and ideas of how she could change up the dress. Others jumped on board and tried to do the same thing. They wanted to wear the same dress for 365 days. Ultimately, by the end of the year, 300 Indian children were able to go to school. By setting limits for herself, Sheena unleashed a spark of creativity that was courageous, it was contagious, and it was life-changing, not just for herself, but for people all around the world. And most especially for 300 children who knew nothing about the project. The limitation that she set on herself acted as a conduit for freedom. Freedom to discover that it doesn't take much to be an active participant in change. And that limitation also prepared a way for others to join in and have their lives changed. I know sometimes I stand here and I claim that we put limits on ourselves that prevent us from making change in the world. Sometimes we let our fears limit us, and we let our likes and our desires limit us, and we let our responsibilities limit us. I guess it's a new thought, even for me, to let our limitations actually open us up to change. I guess if you really think about it, when we limit ourselves in some ways, it does simplify. And simplifying our lives helps us let go of some of the things that hold us back. The scripture tells us that John baptized with water, but that the important thing is to be baptized by the Spirit. That was very important for me. That phrase kept going through my head this week. Being baptized by water is really very simple. It's very simple to go in there and put on the white robe and to be immersed in the water. We feel it, we taste it, we see it, it's tangible, it doesn't hurt, it doesn't really permanently physically change us. Hopefully, it does make us think differently, and hopefully, it is the earthly symbol of a much deeper change. Being baptized by the Spirit, that's different. Being baptized by the Spirit is so much deeper. It means that we are changed forever. It means that that moment when we give our life to Christ, that moment forward, our life must take on a different meaning. Hopefully, our earthly baptism does symbolize that the spiritual baptism of the Spirit has already taken place and we are changed. We want to follow Christ. We want to walk like a child of God. We want to spread the good news. We want to prepare the way for others to hear the good news. Every year as I approach Advent, every year I think, okay, so next year I am going to get started early. And I'm going to get all the decorations up, and I'm going to get all the presents bought. And come that first Sunday of Advent, I am going to be ready to focus on Advent. Haven't done it yet. Instead, I spend Advent time doing all those things I feel like I need to do to get ready for Christmas. I'm not preparing myself for the coming. I need to be remembering that feeling of baptism. I need to be sharing with the world what a difference the Spirit can make. Isaiah says it for us. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. May we remember our baptism, and may it help us see Advent in a new and different way. And may we prepare the way by proclaiming the good news. Amen and amen.